Welcome to the HSC podcast series. I'm your host today, Laura Franco, Vice President, Director of Post-Acute Regulatory Strategy. Today, I'm joined by Jennifer Lamb, RN, MBA, and mock surveyor for Life Care Services. And we're talking about the new FTAG numbering system and all the regulations contained in each one of these new FTAGs. So our goal today and with this series is to help you understand the new FTAGs so that when the surveyors start to survey with these new FTAGs beginning on November 28th of this year, that you will understand what they are and be in compliance. Today's topic is FTAG 565, which is Resident, Family, Group, and Response. So I'd like to welcome you, Jennifer, for joining us today.
Thank you, Laura. I'm happy to be here to share more information about the new FTAGs and how our communities can be ready for their state surveys.
Super. So I mentioned that this is a series of podcasts that we're doing on these FTAGs. Can you tell our listeners what they're going to expect from this podcast series?
We will be covering one FTAG per podcast contained under the 49 tags identified as substandard quality of care. Substandard quality of care is defined by CMS as having more than one deficiency related to participation requirements under resident behavior and facility practices, quality of life, and quality of care that constitute either immediate jeopardy to resident health and safety, a pattern of or widespread actual harm that is not immediate jeopardy, or a widespread potential for more than minimal harm but less than immediate jeopardy with no actual harm. We will be using the State Operations Manual, Appendix PP, Guidance to Surveyors for Long-Term Care Facilities that will be effective on November 28th, 2017. This is the exact same SOM that the surveyors are using and is our best tool to learn as much as the surveyor and be prepared for the state survey.
Jennifer, I think you have a good point there that that our communities should download the State Operations Manual Appendix PP now because it is available now, and they can even use it to follow along in this series of podcasts, but they should have a copy of it and start to use it now so they understand it. Is that good guidance for them?
Oh, absolutely. I think the best thing that they could do is to download it now and have it in front of them and use that. As we talk about the podcast, they're labeled as to what we're going to be talking about and have that in front of them so that they can see what we're talking about as we do. And, you know, one of the, when I went to a training, one of the words of advice that they gave to a lot of the administrators that were in the room was take the new SOM and take a tag and start learning them one at a time. Have your staff, you know, either print it off or have it on the desktop and just, you know, have in services that say, this is what you need to know. This is what they're going to know. So you know this, you'll know what they know, and you'll be best prepared. And not only will you be able to, you know, survive the state survey process, but you'll be able to be an active participant and you won't feel as behind. And so I think that this is an excellent way to do that, is to have the SOM in front of you and have that section that we're talking about as we go.
Oh, that's good advice. That's a really good idea. So we are talking today about 565. And as I understand this, it really is a tag that is focused on the resident's right to organize and attend groups.
Yes. Residents often like to get together and discuss issues that apply to them and to discuss any changes that they would like seen in the health centers where they reside. F-565 says the following. The resident has a right to organize and participate in resident groups in the facility. The facility must provide a resident or family group, if one exists, with private space and take reasonable steps with the approval of the group to make residents and family members aware of upcoming meetings in a timely manner. Staff, visitors, or other guests may attend resident group or family group meetings only at the respective group's invitation. You know, for an example, I recently attended a resident council meeting by invitation of one of the members of the group, and then with the consent of the rest of the group, they allowed me to sit in and listen to their concerns. So the facility must provide a designated staff person as well, who's approved by the resident or family group and the facility, and they're responsible for providing assistance and responding to written requests that result from these group meetings. The facility must consider the views of a resident or family group and act promptly upon the grievances and recommendations of such groups concerning issues of resident care and life in the facility. The facility must be able to demonstrate their response and rationale for such response as well. This should not be constrained to mean that the facility must implement, as recommended, every request of the resident or the family group, but they need to do as much as they can. The resident has the right to participate in family groups, and the resident has a right to have family members or other residents' representatives meet in the facility with families or resident representatives of other residents in the facility.
So that was a good example that you gave when you talked about you being invited to a group by one resident and that the other residents also had the right to approve your joining that group for that conversation.
Yes. You know, a lot of times when I go and visit with residents one-on-one, I'll ask about resident council, and sometimes it does result in an invitation to join them for their meetings if they're having one during the week while I'm there. But I do go in and visit with a lot of residents. It used to be that we would pull together our own group meetings as well. And that is something that a traditional state survey does. With the new survey, they won't do that. A lot of times you get more information and you actually, the residents feel like they have more of an opportunity to talk to you and get their point across one-on-one as opposed to groups. But again, it's happened where I've visited and they say, hey, you know what, we're having a group meeting and I'd like you to come. We make sure that everybody in the room is okay with that.
So. Wonderful. Good, good. So, again, like some of the other F tags, 565 is the pulling together or combining of two other F tags. And in this case, the prior F tags were 243 and 244. And so it does look to me that they really just pulled those two together to make one tag that addresses the organization and participation in groups. And so having said that, what does it mean to have a resident or family group? I mean, what does that mean?
Oh, well, it's defined by the State Operations Manual as a group of residents or resident family members that meet regularly to discuss and offer suggestions about facility policies and procedures that affect the lives of the residents, their care, treatment, and quality of life.
So it sounds to me like it's more of a formal group. Is that correct?
Yes, this is a formal group of the residents that they have organized this together, and this is a way for the residents and the families to be able to address any concerns that they may have.
Okay, so when I look at this, the groups can gather to support one another. They could plan a resident or family activity. They could participate in some type of an educational activity, so they can really decide the purpose of any of their groups. Is that correct?
Absolutely. However, residents are not required to organize any kind of a group, but if they choose, then it is their right to do so and without interference from the facility. The facility should provide space, privacy, and support the group.
Wonderful. I think that's key, to provide the space, the privacy, and the support. So Jennifer, sometimes we know when groups get together, they sometimes get together and some dislikes come out, and they might get together in a group and start talking about issues that they want to address, or maybe they have a formal grievance. What would happen in that case?
Well, and it's absolutely true. When you get a group of people together, sometimes all it takes is one person to you know, say that they have an issue, and then it kind of becomes, you know, an easier, an easier environment for other residents to say, well, you know, that's going on with me too, or yeah, I've got that concern too. And so when you have grievances that come up in these meetings, the staff is required to act upon any grievance and take into consideration the views of those residents and families. Accommodations should be made if practicable, even if it means changing or developing a policy to address the issue.
And I know that the health center should also be keeping a record of all these grievances and documentation so that they have information that the staff addressed the resident's concern or the family member's concern.
Yes, that's true. During a survey, the surveyors are going to ask for any grievances and minutes from resident council meetings and family meetings. I do that. When I come in and do a mock survey, one of the number one things that I ask for in the entrance is I always say, I want to see the minutes from the last three meetings of your resident council, and I want to see your grievances. And sometimes that is what will kind of catapult where that takes me. We do such a great job in our LCS communities that literally when I walk in, I don't have things that are hitting me in the face wrong. And so it does take some looking into to see if I see anything. And so that's where I grab the minutes so I can see what issues have the residents had, have if any. And so that kind of propels me forward into which direction I want to head in, what I want to look into, what I want to talk about when I visit with the residents, and find out if those grievances have been met, if the concerns raised in the meetings have been met. So if I'm doing that, you can trust and believe that your surveyors are doing that. So the surveyor will ask who the resident council president is, if they have one, because sometimes residents choose not to have a president. In fact, I've seen that more and more lately. They will also ask who the designated staff person is that works as a liaison between the health center and the residents. And those items need to be given to the surveyors promptly when asked. The surveyors will talk to residents who attend the meetings, especially the resident council president, if there is one, and ask if the group is able to meet in private without staff present if desired, if family members are allowed to join, how their concerns and grievances are handled, and if they're handled in a timely manner.
So I know you're ready for my next question because I always want to know what we need to do to be compliant. And in this case, what do we need to do to be compliant with FTAG 565?
It's honestly not hard to be compliant with this one. The health center needs to just make sure that they're not preventing residents and families from forming and participating in groups. They should make sure that they inform residents and families of group meetings in advance, show the surveyors the calendar of events that has the resident council meeting scheduled, so that you can see that the residents are aware that there is a meeting and the time and place for it. They need to provide private space for those meetings and make sure that staff addresses the concerns and grievances of residents in a timely manner and that it is well documented. When the surveyors ask for that grievance log and a resolution log, and usually that's all encompassed in the same area, when they ask for that, if you are Johnny on the spot with that, that goes a long way with saying, yes, we're aware of grievances. We're not hiding our grievances. We're addressing it immediately, and we're getting on board with what our residents are asking.
Well, then it sounds like the compliance, like you said, is pretty easy because it's a combination of meeting the resident needs and the resident families by not interfering with their groups and making sure that we have documentation and minutes of grievances and then documenting the response to those.
Exactly. As long as the staff understands the right of the resident to assemble and hold meetings and to take their concerns seriously and act upon them appropriately, the health center can avoid getting a citation for F-565.
That's great. That's great. Well, I want to thank you, Jennifer, for joining us today in our series of podcasts outlining the new F tags and the added regulations for the final rule. I hope today's discussion was helpful to everyone on F tag 565, resident and family group and response. So, thanks, Jennifer, and we look forward to hearing from you again next time.
Thank you so much, Laura. I look forward to the next podcast. And looks like next time we'll be discussing F-584, safe, clean, comfortable, and home-like environment.
That's fantastic. Looking forward to it. That's all for now. Talk to you all soon.
Legal disclaimer: LifeCare Services LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.